Welcome to Plot Spackle.
From this point forward, there will be spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle. I'm John, and I'm the one who's seen the OG Mummy most recently.
I'm Eric, and I saw the cool 90s reboot.
I'm Richard, and I've seen mummies in real life.
I'm Julie, and I love my mummy. Hi, Mom!
Alright. And today we'll be talking about the 2017 Mummy, and we do have a guest star. This is our guest star, Julie.
Hello.
And I'm looking around here, and I'm seeing a lot of failed cinematic universes. Is that what we're using to fill potholes this week?
Oh, so many failed universes.
I thought we were just going to bury them alive.
We could do that too. It's a lot of options there.
Nope, they're dead franchises. Well, whatever. We'll
undead franchises?
Ooh, fitting.
Sure, why not? Zombies are no longer cool anymore.
All right. Well, that doesn't stop people from beating a dead man, undead man, with a baseball bat.
Or cricket bat.
So tell us about this movie, Richard.
All right. So this is the mummy that was released on the 9th of June, 2017. It had a $125 million budget. And it only grossed about $80 million in the U.S., but if you go worldwide, it actually grossed $410 million. So it was much more popular outside the U.S. than it was inside the U.S.
That's actually caught me by surprise. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. I'm like, I would maybe have pegged it at $200 million, but not much more.
Another entertaining fact for it was that its tagline, the whole "Welcome to a Whole New World of Gods and Monsters," was a quote from the original Bride of Frankenstein, which was actually supposed to be the next movie in the Dark Universe.
Maybe eventually they will.
Yeah, the mummy kind of killed that. So
I don't know. Maybe if they just made a movie slightly cheaper, they'd still make money outside the U.S.
You know what they say, though, guys. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
All right. So, Eric, do you want to explain what the movie's actually about?
Sure. So Tom Cruise and that guy from New Girl are treasure hunters, but they're kind of the illegal treasure hunter type. So they find themselves in the middle of Iraq, thinking that, hey, there's going to be some treasure around here because this old map said there was going to be. Turns out there was treasure and terrorists, or freedom fighters, what, I don't know, bad guys. And so they find a mummy there. They're like, hey, let's bring this mummy back to London. The mummy goes back to London and, well, unlike the really good horror comedy An American Werewolf in London, there was just the ancient Egyptian mummy in London, you know, killing people and stuff until she dies. And I guess Tom Cruise becomes the god of death. I don't know. I'm still kind of confused on that part. He's not the mummy, but anyways, no one else could figure it out either. That's why they didn't continue. But yeah, so Tom Cruise and the mummy tries to hook up with Tom Cruise, but he's like, no way, babe. I already got a girl. When that mummy ends up killing the girl, he decides, you know what? Let's dabble in the dark arts a bit.
As you do.
Of course.
That's always a great option. Just dabble in the dark arts. It's a quick way to get power.
To be fair, when life gives you lemons, give those lemons life.
I don't think we're covering Frankenstein yet, but why not?
All right. And so,
wait, don't lemons already have life? They're like, they're a fruit. They're a living thing.
Well, look, Eric, they're not alive.
Right. Anyways.
So plenty of plot holes with this movie, right?
The biggest one is Tom Cruise didn't run enough.
I don't know if that's a plot hole or just something that they should have changed about the movie.
Should have done in reshoots.
Yeah, added in reshoots of him just running. Because in front of a green screen.
Because seriously, like, the more he runs, the more successful a film is. So,
all right. So our first plot hole. So when they find the mummy in this imprisonment tomb, there's this mechanism that you just kind of hit, and the mummy comes pulled out of a pool of mercury, which is being used to suppress its powers. If she's so evil and they don't want her to ever get free, why is this mechanism even a thing?
I was just going to go with it wasn't a release mechanism. It was just something to actually hold her in there. And Tom Cruise broke it. Because until he shoots stuff, it's keeping a mummy suspended in things, and then he breaks things that aren't supposed to be broken, and it all falls apart.
And I mean, another thing too, like, how heavy is that stone sarcophagus? It's probably got to weigh at least 2 or 3 tons.
But it probably would have floated in the mercury.
It probably would have, so they probably had to keep it down. What I'm trying to get at is, it's not like the priests of Imhotep or whatever are going to, like, carry it into the pool of mercury and just put it down. They're probably going to have to use some levers and whatnot, so...
Winches?
Yeah.
But they can't have done that. They had to use aliens to build pyramids.
Oh, well, so that's the answer, really, is that the aliens helped build this mechanism, and they are the same aliens from science. That's your cinematic universe.
I was just going to say a reboot of The Thing confirmed.
So I agree with that, because it is holding steady, and they have all these things put there, and Tom Cruise just kind of breaks a rope, and then things come loose. Like, they weren't supposed to be broken.
It had warnings telling people not to do exactly that.
All right. So, next plot hole. As they're taking the sarcophagus to London, conveniently, the sarcophagus, or the plane crashes, like, the plane crashes right next to a church that is holding an ancient sacrificial dagger that the mummy happens to need for the Tom Cruise God mode cheat code. So, how does she know, like, to crash right there? And how does she get there?
Well, she gets there on an airplane.
Thanks, Richard. Yep. Plot spackled.
Done. Yeah. She knows to crash there because she has evil magic senses that tell her that magic knives are there.
Yeah, like she had a connection with the knife, I think, and that was bigger in her mind than the stone.
Because, you know...
And we haven't talked about we'll get to the stone part, but...
All right.
I mean, the whole demon thing did give her the fancy knife.
Yeah, and so she's like, I can sense where the knife is to finish the ritual, because she is kind of a servant of Set at that point, and I believe he's probably doing a little bit of a helping her for his own purposes. I mean, he did give her the knife with his, undead creepy servant dude.
And she is supposed to be getting him a host here on Earth, so...
Using said knife.
Yep. So I think she just knew where to crash because she had... creepy knife senses.
Because she's a magical, powerful mummy, that's why. A mummy did it.
I mean, if people are getting this hung up about, like, someone being able to find an ancient item, but not getting hung up about a 5,000-year-old mummy coming back to life, I mean...
Yeah, they kind of missed something. Like, they're willing to accept one thing, you gotta be able to fudge these other details.
It's the same thing that I said for Indiana Jones. You have to accept that the supernatural can happen here because it is patently observable in the universe. So magic can solve it.
No, that just sounds like lazy writing.
A wizard did it.
Lazy writing is where we get magic. Or excitement, you know, we get some spectacle out of it. Is there any other parts to this, Eric?
Well, another part to just kind of tie into it. So that dagger needs a ruby in its hilt or to actually like summon Set into Tom Cruise, but at one part the ruby is missing from the knife, so why doesn't she know that the ruby isn't in the knife if she can sense where these two items are? And we kind of talked about that, just that she has more a bigger connection with the actual knife versus the ruby.
I mean, and she was just recently a like desiccated corpse. She had to suck some people dry to get to her more, like, half-woman mode. Instead of just being the straight, gooey mummy.
I don't think she was gooey. That's the 90s version. I think she was just a dried husk at this point.
Yeah. But, yeah, so she, you know, one thing at a time. You can't expect your mummies...
She was focused on a knife, and she had him right there, and he was gonna be killed for her. And then she found out that there wasn't a ruby, and...
As soon as she realized there wasn't a ruby, it didn't take her long to start looking for it.
And it didn't take her long to find it, either. I think, you know, if there hadn't been the whole hang-up over in... the secret base of... I don't even remember the name of the order that they were trying to be.
Let's just make up a name for him. Julie, make up a name for him.
The Order of the We definitely will have a dark universe, so don't say that we won't.
Yeah, the Order of the will definitely have a dark universe group. If they hadn't kept her over there, she would have been off to get that ruby a lot faster.
Well, one of the reasons why the ruby might have been harder for her to find than the knife is because the ruby was being guarded by, like, the holy knights, so there may have been some, like, good magic.
Ah, so yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. If we can accept that the Egyptian gods have power, then we'd have to accept that pretty much any spiritual force has some sort of truth behind it in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they have equal force.
So maybe that's why the knife was easier to find than the ruby.
Because they just stashed the knife in a reliquary rather than burying it with some bishop.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, works for me.
Yeah, yeah. I think that hole is spackled.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's one for you. So we've got the crash site, and it crashed, and we've got our dead Tom Cruise. But there's, before that, during the crash, we've got a lot of really fun sequence of them, like, falling and the plane spinning through the air, where you've got that sarcophagus strapped down in the background, just kind of rolling around behind them. But later, when the two cops are off investigating the small, you know, not the main crash site, that's where the sarcophagus is, instead of at the main crash site with the rest of the airplane that it was strapped to.
I was just going to say, we actually never see, like, well, do we see it strapped to the, like, as it's falling, do we see it strapped, or?
I think we're more focused, actually, on Tom Cruise and our leading lady and their whole one parachute struggle. Because I know as you actually see it going towards the Abbey, you're looking at Tom Cruise to the cockpit forward.
Yeah. And I can't remember his name, the guy from New Girl, the comic relief who ends up becoming the...
He's already dead.
Yeah, he's already dead, but he was cutting the rope to the sarcophagus. So who's to say that one of it was just a single rope holding
that it didn't snap as the...
as it was tumbling.
Yeah, it's true. You have to secure those things real well, otherwise they'll just come loose. And at a certain height, there's a lot of deviation. I mean, crash sites tend to go over wide areas.
Are you saying that a sarcophagus is not an aerodynamic thing?
No, and it's kind of heavy, and you got to remember, once again, magic mummy.
We've seen in the movie that she can control, like, animals. Who's to say she didn't summon her army of rat people or mole people or something and have them drag it to as close to the Abbey as they could?
I just figure she'd Earthworms. Already used the undead crows that she already used to crash an airplane.
Yeah, what is the carrying capacity of an unladen undead crow?
What if they had, like, some kind of straps or tie downs to carry it?
They had string. I know they probably had string. They just picked it up, carried it to a more appropriate place where she wasn't on fire from the crash.
I know I like not being on fire.
I think everyone doesn't like to be on fire. Do you guys agree? Do any of you like to be on fire?
If I'm being chased by ninjas, no. Yes, if I am being chased by ninjas, ninjas can't catch you if you're on fire. Everyone knows that.
You just raised more questions than you answered.
Yeah, so it could have just been happenstance. The events we don't see, we know that it ends up further away. And then she munches on some people.
She needs a good cup of Joe in the morning. And then Steve.
A couple of cops.
Yeah.
Every morning.
All right.
Nothing like waking up with farmers in your cup.
I think people...
Bum, bum, bum.
All right, so any other plot holes?
The only one I could really think of, like, to be honest, as I was watching it, is when they're in the subway and that subway car comes along and the protagonists know to get against the wall so they don't get hit by the train. How do the skeletons know that?
I'm pretty sure anyone can observe a train coming at you and think, I don't want to get hit by that.
I'm going to get out the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, because from the direction the train was going, a bunch of skeleton zombies come through. It's like, shouldn't they have been hit by the train? But I'm just going to assume that I'm going to spackle my own plot hole here.
Oh, spackle his own plot hole.
The mummy has shown that she has great intelligence. She's able to pick up English, like, no problem. She probably
but she calls a very simple language, and I'm like, no, no, English is a messed up language.
She was using ancient Egyptian. She basically spoke emoji.
Oh, okay. She learned modern English real quickly then.
That's a band, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ha. Huh. Band name.
All right. Yeah. Continue.
So I just think she was able to pick up on things a lot. She probably was observing through what's his bucket's name. I can't remember. I want to call him Ethan Hunt, but I know that's not him.
And Richard just got a little bit angrier.
Now we'll just call him Tom Cruise because that's who it was. It was just
Tom Cruise. That's his name.
Yeah.
She's been able to control him. So she probably noticed, like psychically, she noticed, oh, he's getting against the wall. Is this giant train is coming. She knows what a train is for some reason.
Maybe she got hit by a train.
Probably.
Like, she's just wandering through the tunnels. She's wandering along.
And she's been hit by a train once already.
Hits by a train, and then she gets back up, and she's like, well, that sucked. I'll let my zombies know about this thing.
Put it in the memo.
Yep.
They had things that they could get run over by in ancient Egypt. It's not a new concept.
Yeah, but they don't look like horses.
Or elephants.
Did they have elephants? I don't think they... Well, I don't know.
It could have been like a giant block coming down a pyramid that crushed you.
But she wouldn't have been at that point.
Yeah, but she could have seen some slaves get hit by a giant rock.
And she's all like, I don't want that to ever happen to myself. Or any of mummies I control. As you do after you see this sort of thing.
Of course.
Get your zombie bell.
And so, yeah, I think, yeah, she's just kind of aware. She's smart enough, and I think the zombies have some level of self-preservation.
I could see that.
Except for that one Templar skeleton that couldn't swim in chainmail.
Oh, yeah, poor chainmail skeleton.
I think that was another part that I was like, how are they swimming in chainmail? Chainmail is quite heavy, and I meant to ask you, Richard, to see how much, like, just bones weigh as, like, an adult human skeleton, just the bones. It can't be more than 50 pounds. Like, for a whole entire skeleton.
It's not a whole lot, no. And, like I said, the one that we do see for sure wearing chainmail that goes in water, he sinks.
Yeah, but they were all wearing chainmail of the knight's skeletons.
Well, the knight's skeletons. It could have just been other random, like, churchy people that were in some of the underwater tombs. Mm. She had a lot of skeletons going on right then. And, like I said, we do see the one that is... for sure wearing chainmail, he sank.
Down to the bottom. But then again, you know, at the bottom of the water, it doesn't matter if you're a skeleton, because they don't breathe.
Yeah, they don't have lungs.
And then he just walks over to the exit and just climbs out.
Yeah. Like,
this is such an inconvenience. But yeah. So,
all right, what about the crows flying at a really high altitude? We're talking like 15,000 feet, yeah. I think, is the flying height for that kind of airplane.
Or at least that's the one they announced. But I don't know, this mummy can summon creatures to do her bidding. It's almost as if she would be willing to sacrifice a flock of crows,
which she did.
Oh, she totally sacrificed those crows.
So I mean, I don't know, they probably couldn't breathe, but she can bring things back to life, so they probably died and then she brought them back.
Oh, and very specifically, when she's doing her whole ritual, there are crows hung up around her, and I believe they're dead at that point, and they just got, you know, magically animated.
So they might have been dead to begin with.
Or just forced into a situation where they would die shortly, but they couldn't do anything about it because they were under magical mind control. Mm. Magical mummies. That's our theme. Magical mummies. Mummies are magical.
Yeah.
Like friendship.
Our go-to answer this time around is, whenever there's a plot hole, a wizard did it.
An undead wizard. An
Egyptian wizard.
Yeah.
Undead Egyptian wizard.
A mummy.
So, do you have a plot hole we should fill, Julie?
Well, I think one of the biggest oversights in the movie is, if the mummy can control Tom Cruise, why doesn't the mummy just control Tom Cruise?
Yeah, it does have a bit of control over him, but other people she controls, she just, like, totally takes complete control over him. They just do what she wants, and he's kind of led around.
Undead friend.
Yeah, like undead friend, or the guy who gets a spider in his ear.
Because apparently
and then gets an axe.
Or that works.
Yeah, magical mummy.
Yep, magical mummy.
Magical mummy. No, I think it's because for the sacrifice to work, he's got to be a bit more willing. And so she's got to try and seduce him to it. She's got to convince him that he wants to do it instead of just making him come along with her. Otherwise, it doesn't work. I mean, even magical mummies have rules sometimes.
Like... Mercury somehow stops it.
Yeah. Mercury weakens the spirit because it kills you.
Well, I've got to agree with your he has to be willing thing, because the guy at the beginning of the movie seemed very willing.
Oh, yeah, he was all into it.
He was ready to get shivved.
I wanted to say something definitely not family friendly, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because we probably have kids that listen to this. Maybe. I don't know. Text us if you want me to make that inappropriate joke. And I'll text it back to you.
$5. Patreon. Get the bad joke.
Yeah.
No. And then I just think we should have a small couple, like, little things. Like, let's be pedantic here about Set is the god of chaos, not death. You got to go bark up another tree for that, right?
Yeah. They were saying, Anubis is actually the god of death. But no, Anubis is actually a psychopomp, which in this case here is a word that means someone who ferries dead people to the afterlife. Like, legitimately, that's a word.
Yeah, Osiris would be more that one, but Osiris in Egyptian...
Anubis is a psychopomp. Osiris is kind
of... I was saying for god of the dead, you would go with Osiris.
But that's not death. He's just in charge of dead
people. Yeah, I'm actually...
Well, that's the thing, is if you're going for ancient Egyptian, they don't really have death, like the act of killing something, necessarily covered by a god specifically. They had a lot of gods, and they had a lot of rules... But, like, Osiris technically was a god that was dead.
So, you go with, actually, I think Set is the closest to the concept they have. And so we can give them that. Because as the god of chaos, coming from the earlier period when they were a Bronze Age civilization, they were very organized. And chaos is the same thing as saying people are going to die. Because, you know, that's famine. That's, floods, disasters, invading armies. In the later periods of Egyptian history, Set was specifically connected to foreign nations, like Persia and Assyria, people who came and invaded Egypt. Plus, within their legends, his whole big thing is about being against the other gods and how he chopped up Osiris. Mm-hmm. Did he chop up Osiris?
Yeah, he chopped up Osiris.
Yeah.
And then, did he pluck out Horus's eye and, like, cut it up or something?
Yeah, he's doing all sorts of unfriendly things. So he's basically the bad guy god.
Yeah, he would be the god that you would want to go with, because if you went with the actual god of the dead, they wouldn't want a mummy. They wouldn't want something to be undead. Then that god couldn't control it any longer.
Yeah, he failed.
Yeah.
Anubis wants to help you get to your afterlife and stay there and enjoy it.
Otherwise, he's just like a parole officer whose ward got away.
All right, any other plot holes? Or should we talk about the mummy and why it fell to start an extended universe?
Let's get into the dark universe here, John.
All right, the dark universe. What would have been?
Tell us what the dark universe was supposed to be.
All right, so the dark universe was supposed to be the Universal Studios expanded universe. Kind of like, you know, there's the DC extended universe and the Marvel cinematic universe, and so they wanted to go back to the old Universal film movie collection, because they once kind of had this connected universe between the Wolfman, the Mummy, Dracula,
Abbott and Costello,
Frankenstein's monster. They had a lot of movies that were interjected, so they were kind of bring that back and get into this expanded universe thing that's going on right now, you know, try and get connection, drive some
they want to guarantee revenue for decades to come.
And it didn't go well. I think it's dead officially. Yeah, or dead unofficially.
I think it's dead unofficially. Like Richard said, the next movie is supposed to be The Bride of Frankenstein. It was slated to come out in February 2019 or March 2019. But looking at the actual IMDb page, it is listed as unknown.
Work has been halted. It's stuck in Hollywood limbo.
So it maybe there's a couple rough cuts of it, like nothing polished, but the mummy kind of stopped all this stuff because I think they thought it would do a lot better.
Maybe they should have made a better movie.
Well, as I was watching it, they got to the office where Dr. Jekyll is working, and they show Easter eggs in plain sight, like lingering shots of, like, they have a vampire skull, they have the arm from the Creature of the Black Lagoon, and I was watching, I'm like, you know, I think it would have been a more fun movie to actually watch them get these items instead of just the, oh, hey, guys, look it over here. We got ourselves a merman arm. Yeah, that's just kind of my, it's like, I think it would have been better to maybe hint at it. Like, for example, the Dr. Jekyll character and the Mr. Hyde character. Maybe don't focus on him at all during the movie. Maybe.
Yeah, I think he had an overextended role, especially like at the very beginning where he's our narrator of the events. And then it's very much he's telling us what happened instead of then just showing us what happened, which is odd considering how often they repeated those specific flashback scenes from the earlier bit. I think it was too much. Like, I don't think he really needed to be there except for maybe at the end. That's when you tease stuff. You do your story.
Like, they could have had him show up, scope out the ruins at the very beginning, and then show up at the end as well so that you have this weird character bookending things to drive questions, but not give you any answers.
Oh, I think that's a good point. Is we should have gone in, come out with more questions than we did answers, because then we want those questions answered, and so that's why we're curious and we'd go see these other movies.
Yeah, the movie didn't even have you asking the right questions, because I guarantee a lot of viewers came out of this movie with more questions than answers, but the wrong kind.
Less about, oh, what's going to happen next?
More of the, what did I just watch?
Yes. I paid money for this?
Mm-hmm.
Another
Where's thing... the bathroom? I think that was a... it's a beginning of a longer movie.
One thing I think that would have been is if, like, again, we don't need to have the big whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. And that gives you a lot more time to play with the mummy story itself. And could have given us more reasons to care about Tom Cruise's character at the end, rather than just, oh, I guess he's a monster now?
More like a demigod, I would say.
But, you know, some kind of guy with powers over clearly bringing people back to life. But it could have given us more time in the film itself, or if it's going too long, we can just shave it down. But more time to show things without trying to go, look at our Easter eggs. Because if everybody came out of the film liking the mummy, the film itself, they would have wanted more stuff to connect to it.
Yeah, and it would have been more fun if, for instance, Easter eggs were just kind of better hidden. Like, instead of seeing a vampire skull in a jar, they could have had a character refer to the Helsing incident.
Yeah.
Or even, like, maybe the Mina incident. Because Van Helsing is, like, at least in my opinion, it's a fairly... well known, it's part of the monster.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah, Mina.
Or like, the Harker incident or whatever. Like, if you know the Dracula story, you're going to know those characters, but it's just
showing. Have somebody say they thought they were dealing with a Renfield at some point.
Yeah. Like, tie it in like that. Like John was saying, show more instead of telling more.
All right, another thing I think is the scale of the threat was too big. The fact is that the problem with this mummy is specifically if she succeeds at her goal, she's going to be let a evil god into the world and go out and just, like, destroy everything. And really, that makes it hard to bring to yourself to identify with. Whereas if it's something smaller...
So who would you have be the,
well, in
the smaller?
In the original Universal Mummy and also in the 90s Mummy, the mummy's real goal is to bring back his loved one. Like, that is very specifically what it is, and the conflict tends to arise from the fact that in doing so, he's going to kill someone that you care about, that you relate to. And, like, in the 90s one, there's going to be a lot of side effects, but mostly it's just the fact that he's back, and that he has these powers, and he's going to use them. And maybe eventually he'll become ruler of Egypt or whatever, but it's not like he's trying to wipe out humanity. Mostly he just wants to bring his loved one back from the dead. And so something smaller where it's mostly it affects the characters, and the fact that the mummy is so powerful and can destroy the world, but doesn't want to. Like, that's not their goal. It also would humanize the mummy more, and you wouldn't need to have Tom Cruise become the mummy. You could have always had just the same mummy. Who your mummy is in this movie should have been your mummy through the whole franchise.
Yeah, a really big problem with this movie, a movie called The Mummy, is that there wasn't enough of the mummy in it. Wouldn't you say so? She was in it for like 3 scenes.
Yeah, she has her set pieces, and that's about it. Like, she's got her backstory. When she's killing the cops and tries to kill them, then the fight in the woods, then she's strapped down and getting pumped full of mercury for a while, and then it's the finale.
Yeah.
And all she does is, like, turn all the glass in London into sand.
So would it have been better if it was more of an actual horror movie? Kind of like, would you say the 90s Mummy, where it's actually the mummy hunting down people? I haven't seen the original Mummy, so I can't...
The original Mummy, it's a bit more mystery kind of thing.
But, like, in the 90s when he's actually hunting down people.
So... Yeah, he wants this part specifically, so you know the targets he wants, and that he's coming for him.
So would it have worked a little bit better if it started going more towards the horror element and have her hunting down specific people or maybe
part of the crew? Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I think, one, it's cheaper to make horror movies, and so it's easier to do a franchise. And to be honest, horror movies do franchises and universes all the time. Like, right now, there's the Conjuring one. Pretty much every slasher...
Jason and Freddy
had their franchise, and then several of them interact. Like, there's the ongoing jokes between the Evil Dead series and, I think Halloween we see actually at some point, some, like, other slasher paraphernalia locked up. So, like, they kind of have this connection anyways. But they kind of wanted to compete with Marvel, and so that's why we have more action, and we're going for our superhero mummy, which is what Tom Cruise is kind of at the end. Like, he's got the mummy powers, but he's a good guy. And so it's, is he going to become a monster? So they can have, like, this anti-hero theme. But I think that just doesn't work out well. I think they should have stuck a bit more to the horror roots. So make us afraid of the mummy, but kind of sympathetic too. But then that's the drive, is we're going to see the mummy again. And we're afraid of the mummy.
Do you think they should have gone with a different Universal monster instead of the mummy? Because let's be honest, the mummy's basically a zombie. Wrapped up in bandages. There's, you know, zombies aren't scary any, like, a single zombie isn't scary anymore, but
unless they have magic powers.
So yes, I think they should have started with the creature from the Black Lagoon.
He hasn't been done as much.
Yeah, he hasn't been done as much. He still has popularity. And the thing is what gets me is specifically they wanted Guillermo del Toro to be the head of the Dark Universe, and he didn't want to do that. Instead, he went and did his own movie, Shape of the Water.
The thing from the Black Lagoon.
Yes, which is a variation on that theme, because it's a story he really liked. So I think that might have been one of the things that killed the Dark Universe right there. Someone who had a love of the old concepts, but he wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want them to be over them, and that, I think, killed it.
See, for me, I think they should have maybe started with, like, Frankenstein or something, because there's not very many Frankenstein stories told again. But Frankenstein is very much a self-contained story, which could then lead into the monster hunting world or whatever. You know, maybe the ship that Dr. Frankenstein gets picked up in the Arctic is actually being funded by the Society for No More Monsters.
See, my issue is that Frankenstein's monster is kind of well-known enough. And it really has seen a lot of productions.
Yeah, after I said that, I realized that the Daniel Radcliffe one came out like a couple of years ago. So
yeah, it's that kind was the last of, one. It's kind of like a, it feels like sort of like the pirate movies. Like, there are periods of times where they do pirate movies and they've had good ones and bad ones. But generally, you don't want to do it. That's what it feels like. And like vampires just won't work because they're too forward in the public consciousness, and there haven't been a lot of good werewolf ones recently.
Vampires, too sexy right now.
Yeah, so that's where I'm like, oh, I think the creature from the Black Lagoon would be the good fit, because it's a concept people know, but I don't think that many were intimately familiar with it.
Could they have gotten away with the Invisible Man? Because he was slated for the Dark Universe.
And I remember watching Hollow Man, which is basically the Invisible Man, earlier. And that was a pretty scary, like, thriller. I think they could have done a good Invisible Man movie.
I don't know. I don't think people would see it.
You're not even a dad, and already dad jokes.
You gotta practice, so it comes naturally later. Maybe the Invisible Man could work. Here's the thing, though. The Invisible Man had a cameo in this movie.
We just didn't know.
We just didn't know, because he's invisible.
One of the better cameos, then.
Yeah.
He was one of the subtle Easter eggs.
Very subtle Easter egg.
What other monster movies did Universal do back in the day? Like, because when I think of monster movies, I kind of think of the B monster movies, and that's not all Universal.
No, Universal did
Frankenstein, Dracula,
Hunchback of Notre Dame, The Invisible Man, The Mummy, Bride of Frankenstein.
Theoretically, they were going to do a Phantom of the Opera one as well.
Oh, they
as
did.
Part of Dark Universe.
That one I think would have been hard though, because people might have the reverse Sweeney Todd effect. They might go into it thinking that it's a musical, but it's really not.
As long as they're singing in it.
So that's one of those things though, is like I wouldn't, it's one of those ones you definitely wouldn't have wanted to start your Dark Universe doing Phantom of the Opera, but if they had gotten it rolling, then they could have put it down as, like, you know, an incident that happened in the past.
Oh, so here's the question. Should the Dark Universe have been set in, like, the 1800s?
I think the 1800s or early 1900s.
Like, have it be a period piece, and that could have been its thing.
I think The Mummy would have done better as a period piece.
Yeah, because I agree with that. Because also then you could have some slight variation on the years, so you don't know quite which order they happen in.
I would have put it down as, like, the Pulp Fiction era, or not, like, the movie Pulp Fiction, but, like...
1950s, or, like, 1940s.
Yeah, heroic adventure, where it's... you can have cars and guns and planes and boats, but the world is still a big place.
And there's a lot of unknown.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be real easy to actually have, like, Dracula's castle be a thing of some small nation in the Eastern Europe.
They could just refer to it the Ottoman Empire, whatever.
Yeah,
because that was a big
lost empire. Valley in the Carpathian Mountains.
And then antiquities feel more in place there.
I think it's also easier to accept magic in a period piece versus a modern setting.
And it's a lot easier to be afraid of something when you don't have modern weaponry on hand.
When you can't call it an airstrike.
And drones come nuke the mummy for you.
Yeah.
Remember, mummies burn.
They're basically dried firewood, so they burn really well.
Special spices included.
But remember, curses may be included. Let's see, is there anything else you want to talk about the Dark Universe?
Any last thoughts, Julie?
I just think that this mummy movie should have either been a better movie or a much, much worse movie. Because you can go in expecting a good movie, and if you get a movie that's really bad, and I mean really extremely bad, you might actually enjoy it. This movie was bad, but not bad enough. It wasn't bad in the right way.
It was mediocre.
It was mediocre.
And there's nothing worse than being forgettable when you're a movie.
Yeah.
Just not gonna lie. Like, I thought I wanted to see it in theaters. It went out of theaters. And then I didn't think about it again until we started deciding, oh, what movie should we do for Halloween?
Like, I honestly had forgotten this film existed, and I never saw it in theaters, and then I was just like, oh yeah, they did do a mummy reboot, didn't they?
Oh, one last thing. They should have stopped reminding us of a better movie.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was the hardest part. That's really my thing, with the hardest thing that they were going up against by trying to start the Dark Universe with The Mummy, is that we all have fond memories of the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
And yeah, for all its flaws, it's something that still kind of has this warm, fuzzy place in your heart.
It's like the disabled dog you have. I mean, sure, it can't stand up on its own, but man, you love the thing.
Yeah, see, like, that's going back to what I said. That movie was campy, but it knew it was campy, so it kind of just went
exactly.
with it.
It was just kind of a charming film, and so you liked it, and this one, it had to fight against the nostalgia from that film to try and establish its own thing, because more people, like John had talked about how he watched the original Mummy, the like 1930s Universal horror film. But most of the people going into watching this film aren't familiar with that. They've only seen the Brendan Fraser one. And so there's no Benny to give us comic relief.
We don't understand
why the mummy cares so much about doing this. I mean, I guess she's not going to inherit Egypt. All right. I wasn't going to inherit Egypt either, so hard to relate there.
I was, but I had a bad day.
Can you even watch the original, like, monster movies? Or do you need, like, on Netflix or whatever? Or do you need to find, like, a disc? Because...
They come in collections. The collections are generally pretty cheap to buy nowadays.
But you have to go out and find them.
Yes.
And in the streaming age, most people aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's another problem. Maybe if they had maybe gotten a deal with Netflix or...
Oh, yeah, and they started doing releases beforehand to seed excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, Universal, you have no one else to blame but yourselves. You could have had a Dark Universe. You just needed to understand your audience.
And I think that would have been a really fun, like...
Oh, yeah, I think universe. It would have been a fun place. And, like, for instance, the MonsterVerse seems to be doing just fine. One with the Godzilla and King Kong.
It isn't...
But see, that's a fun one, is they didn't go in planning on doing a MonsterVerse. They planned on doing Godzilla.
Godzilla, what, 2014?
Yeah, 2014.
That was a fairly... that was kind of a sleeper hit, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
People liked it.
Well, and that was the thing, is, like, Godzilla was a good film that could stand on its own. And so once you had a good film that can stand on its own, then you start tying in other things to that rather than trying to use a film to establish everything else.
Godzilla already kind of has its own built-in universe because they have Mothra, Rodan, Gojira, whatever.
King Ghidorah.
Yeah, Ghidorah. That's the three-headed dragon.
You want me to list all the monsters, or do we just want to end the podcast now?
Yeah, we better wrap it up.
Yeah,
we'll put let's make it
a wrap.
Pun intended. Oh. Yeah.
I stole that from Richard, though. Had it going, and then I took it from him.
Guys, get the pitch
right. Now he's going to make a deal with Set and kill me.
Yep.
Osiris. You deal with Osiris. No, Anubis. He's the ferryman. Anyways, we'll figure it out. Let us know once we kill you.
But, if you like what you heard, let us know in the comments.
Leave us a comment on Facebook at Plots Backle Podcast.
Also, this isn't a joke anymore. We have a Patreon, so find us at Plots Backle on Patreon.
And if you want to give us money, you can.
And they're on Twitter at Plots Backle Pod.
And Julie, do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I don't.
Okay,
guys. That's okay. Julie joins us in spirit for Bargain Bin Roulette, so when we live tweet that,
she's there.
Don't worry. Whenever there is a crappy movie to be watched, I will be there.